Good evening and welcome to the Victory Lane podcast. The day is November 16th and this evening's episode is the first part of an interview I recorded a few days ago with Mike Lawton from VRG. I have with me today Mike Lawton, president of VRG. Mike was recently at their event at Watkins Glen, and we're going to discuss with him that event. Mike began vintage racing in 2003 and has been a member of VRG since it was founded. He's raced in both the U.S. and Canada. He has a 73 Alpha Spider and a 62 Julietta. Welcome to the show, Mike Lawton.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, jump right in on Watkins Glen. Obviously, this has been a tough year for vintage racing, but I understand it was a good event. I want to give us the lowdown on that.
Sure. We've had an October event at Watkins Glen for quite a number of years now. We had, leading up to this year's event, there was a lot of discussion about other vintage events and other events in general at Watkins Glen not being able to happen because of the COVID pandemic. And we felt it might be possible for us to have the event. So we spent a lot of time communicating with the track management as well as local safety officials, and found that we could probably put on the event, if not as normal, at least have an event, do a safe event, give people something to enjoy at Watkins Glen, which is a fantastic racetrack. And so we were able to do it. We were able to pull it off, and entries were down a little bit from what we've historically had at that event, certainly in no small part due to the pandemic. But we had Friday was a little bit rainy. Saturday and Sunday were absolutely beautiful. And we had each group got six races at least. We ended the weekend with a 105-minute enduro on Sunday afternoon. But by that time, most everyone was tired of racing and had headed home for the weekend to get ready for the next week of work. So it was a good event. We appreciate our partners, the BMW Club, who bring their club racers and help us cover the fee for Watkins Glen. And we had about 120 cars. They had about 80 cars. It seemed like everybody went home with a smile on their face, and it was a relatively incident-free weekend.
Well, 105-minute enduro is your final event on Sunday. That sounds like you're guaranteed that the drivers are not driving the trailer on the way home.
Yeah, and you know, I actually suggested driver changes, because Watkins Glen is a pretty demanding track, especially for a vintage car and vintage drivers. Some of the driver changes happened. Some people elected to quit the enduro early because they were tired of driving around the track. But it was a good way to end the weekend. I don't think anybody went home disappointed that they didn't get enough track time, that's for sure.
No, and I think we should say, obviously most people listening to this know exactly how vintage racing goes, but there may be some that don't understand. What is an average length of a race with VRG?
The limiting factor to that is we have a great group of Formula Fords, and they, of course, have a relatively small fuel tank. We figured the maximum they can do is about a half an hour. Other groups, of course, have larger fuel tanks. Typically, the races we like to try to run will be 20 minutes to a half an hour in length.
Right. So for those of the audience who are thinking, well, don't they run 24 hours at Daytona, the Pointer, this race was five times the length of a normal vintage race, which is a lot of people got a lot of exercise on that afternoon. So
Yes.
How many people would participate in the enduro? Do you get a lot of the field out there?
Well, that was kind of the approach, was to try to get people to want to, since we try to give people quite a number of races over the weekend, and that works in two ways. First of all, it doesn't pressurize any one race as, you know, the feature championship. So it gets people's minds around the fact that, you know, it's not necessary to make an overly aggressive move in a corner or, you know, some kind of last corner pass, because there'll be another race. But also, what it also does is it tends to wear people out and wear the machines out, because these are vintage cars. And by Sunday afternoon, we often have trouble keeping people around. And I've been trying all kinds of different things to keep people interested and not have them drive home on Sunday afternoon. The Enduro was the latest iteration of that. Prior to that, I tried an Australian Pursuit, which some people were interested in. We've done that for a couple of years. We're just trying to find something to do on Sunday afternoon that keeps people interested and engaged and wanting to use the entire amount of track time that we've bought from the Glen for the weekend. Yep.
I think certainly people that do this as an ongoing thing would be interested to know how that works, because Sunday fatigue is a phenomenon that I see at a lot of places I go. What was the field for the Enduro like?
I think we had 30 cars that started it.
Okay. So a good turnout.
Yeah, it was decent. And it was combined. It was all of our, we ordinarily run at the Glen, four groups, one open wheel group for the Fords, and then three closed wheel groups. So if you ran in one of the three closed wheel groups, you were eligible for the Enduro. So it would be anything from a Corvette, and a Mustang to a Sprite, or anything, you know, any small bore to large bore, anybody who was running a closed wheel car.
That's one of the most interesting features of an Enduro, the mixed bag, right?
Yes. And you know, when we really try to encourage that, because, you know, we have the drivers in our group that come to our races with the larger, bigger, louder cars, are very responsible in the way they drive and very respectful of their fellow competitors. And we really think that, you know, even though a car is much smaller and much slower, especially at a track like Watkins Glen, that, you know, the field spreads out very quickly. Disparities of car size and performance can be accommodated, especially in vintage racing, where the idea is we're not there to win a trophy and we're not there to, you know, take home a ribbon. The prize is taking your car home the way you brought it there, minus some rubber and gasoline.
And the Australian Pursuit, that's a reverse time handicap, right? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So you take the lap time, the fastest lap time that anyone has, that each car has done that weekend, and you allow them to release from the pits in reverse order. So the slowest, fastest lap time would leave first. And then when we've done it, there've been actually, you know, the Sprites and so on are the first ones to go. And by the time the Camaro goes, the Sprite's been around the track twice, and the Camaro has to make up. The theory is that if everybody does their theoretical best lap time, everybody would cross the finish at the same time. It never worked out that way. But it's a fun way to encourage passing, encourage awareness, and have a little different format of race, which is kind of neat.
I've done sailboat races like that, and there's this moment of glorious victory as you're out in front. And then, of course, it diminishes as the fast guys overtake you. But, was that a popular event?
We didn't do it this year. I decided to mix it up and try the enduro, just the normal enduro. The problem that we had one year that caused me to sort of try to do something different, we had a black flag all where we had a car breakdown that needed to be removed by the emergency vehicles. And with an Australian pursuit, as soon as you do that, everything's out the window because all your time gaps have now completely been erased because you've got to pull the entire field into the pits and then release them again. And you can't recalculate and release the field in an appropriate gap because now the race is shorter. So it kind of messed the whole thing up. And we, you know, it was still fun, but the car that ended up winning didn't make any sense. And I mean, people weren't upset by it, but it was, you know, we decided to try something different.
Yeah. And I think the point here is that if you're looking out at the paddock, people are drifting out or whatever, and you have this block of time on Sunday afternoon, which, by the way, the track doesn't charge you a pro rate on.
Yeah. And, I mean, the reality is also you've got people who have, you know, typically we have a lot of people who tow their own cars to the track. So you have people with 8-hour drives home. And, you know, those people are going to leave at noon on Sunday, no matter what you put in the Sunday afternoon schedule, because they have to be at work on Monday. So, you know, we try to give the people who have the opportunity to stay, give them something interesting to keep them around. You know, that's really what, I guess to me, that's what club racing is all about, you know.
I mean, you're there, you're providing an opportunity and trying to make it entertaining. And as you said, you know, victory is leaving with everything intact.
Yes.
And the joy of having participated as well. So it sounds like this was a success.
Yep.
Obviously, yes. You know, there's difficulties involved in the era of, you know, the pandemic to do these things. And of course, New York has been a big, we're all aware that you guys have to deal with quarantines and things. I mean, obviously that's had an effect. What other events did VRG put on this year?
Yes. So the only other event that VRG was able to move forward with was the Limerick Historics on Labor Day weekend, which we co-sanction with VSCCA. That also happened, you know, in a limited, normally that event has many, many, many spectators all on the hill, milling around in the paddock, asking questions about the cars. This year, it was toned way down. Spectators were not allowed, other than on Sunday when they have the Concours car show. But there was a decent turnout of cars. I know that one, all that event also had some difficulties leading up to it with quarantines and state rules and that sort of thing. In that case, Skip Barber persevered and was able to hold the event. And I think it was a very positive thing there as well. And I think many people who attended enjoyed that. Most people went home with the same smile on their face after Lime Rock that they had after Watkins Glen. So we felt pretty good about that. But the rest of our schedule was unfortunately basically eliminated by the pandemic. So we're looking forward to rejoining our traditional schedule in 2021 and being back to some of the other tracks in addition to Lime Rock and Watkins Glen.
I would imagine that not only from the excitement perspective, but it's important to the club to get back on track. We'll break things there and pick it up next time when Mike tells us what they have planned for 2021. Thanks for listening this evening. Appreciate it as always, and we'll see you next time.